Good morning, church. It's a privilege to be with you today to worship God, but also to share this passage. I'm thankful for the pastors and the leaders who trust me for this time. So I send you greetings from Albania. As Pastor Brian said, today we will be focused in Galatians chapter 1, the 10 first verses. And I will be focusing the gospel. Now I know that all of the book of Galatians speak about the gospel from the beginning to the end. And I often people think that the gospel is only for people who don't believe. I used to think like that the gospel, the good news, is only for people who not believe. But I understand that the gospel is for everybody because it's a good news for salvation and transformation. It's not only the good news for salvation, but for transformation. So it's important to believe the gospel, but also it's important to live by the gospel. So the word gospel, it's a good news. It's a good news that tells us what God has done to save us. The bad news is that we people are separated from God. We are separated because of our sin. And whatever we do, we cannot make ourselves clean. But God, through Jesus, paid the penalty that he can make us right and clean through faith in him. So it's important for us to understand the gospel. It's important to understand the gospel because the way that we believe the gospel, that is the way that we will live our life. So we need to believe it and live it by that. So if TCBC want to be salt and light for the community and for the campus, it's important that we all have the gospel deep in our life that will impact in the way that we live and the way that we act and the way that what we believe. Now, so I grow up in believing the false gospel. I grow up not knowing my identity. I grow up in a small village in Albania, where about 200, 300 people live. When I was 6 years old, the communism fell in Albania. And most of Albanians are Muslim by tradition because our ancestor was forced to be a Muslim. In my family, only my grandmother was a dedicated Muslim. And she taught us some prayer. I still remember one of them in Arabic. I don't know what it means. I do play this card where I meet people who know Arabic and I will surprise them. But I don't know it by heart. I don't know what it means. So I hope it's not something that offends them. Another thing that happened in Albania is that during the communism, our dictator declare Albania the first atheist country in the world. And he persecuted all of the religion. He destroyed the mosque, he destroyed the churches, he put people in the jail, and he killed a lot of others. So another thing that I forget to tell you. So I thank the pastors and the leader who give me the opportunity. But I want to thank you that you will be patient with my English. You probably never heard somebody preaching in the English like me. So I know that you are Christ follower, so you have grace. So thank you. So back where I left. So growing up, I never doubt that God exists. I always believe that God is. But I try to be a good person, but I always fail to do that. And I didn't know that why I cannot, one of the issue that I had and I still have is why I cannot stop sinning or why I cannot please God. I was bothered that I can do some ritual religious things once a week, and for the rest of the week I can live like a sinner. So it bothered to me that. So I believe back in that time, and I do still believe that if God exists, that was my thought, that if God exists, our dedication should be 24/7, and not only one a week or couples a week. But if God exists, he needs all of our dedication. And so I later understand that in the way that I was thinking, it was not that I was smart, but because God was working in my life that to prepare my heart, that when my sister, 20 years ago, I am the youngest in the family. My oldest sister was studying in the capital city, and some people from crew went to the dormitory, shared the gospel with her, and she believed it. She saw that was it good news. So when she came to spend the summer with us, she shared the gospel. That summer of 2002 was the first time that I hear the gospel, and the first time that I hear, the first time I believe. And my sister took the courage to come and share the gospel, regardless of what we will respond, either we'll accept it or deny it. And so through believing the gospel, I was able to have my true identity, and also to believe the true gospel and not the false gospel like I used to do. I will share more of my story as I continue with the sermon, but I want to now speak for the passage that we read. So the first two verses, it's about the identity. So Paul, an apostle, sent not from man or by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me to the church in Galatia. So scholar will tell us that the book of Galatians is one of the first letters that Paul has written. Now, when we compare the entering of the letter with others, we see some difference, that it's not similar with the other letters that Paul have wrote. And we see that why he had this reason to be direct, to be clear, and to tell them about who he was. So the issue that Paul had here was that after he went and established the church, the false teacher came with the false gospel. Not only with the false gospel, but also they were doubting Paul's identity as a pastor. And now because of that, Paul started to say that I am an apostle not by men, but by Christ. And it makes more sense when we read those two verses, when we see that why Paul needed to be so clear, so direct, and maybe tell them that where he stands. So it's important not only for Paul to know the identity, but it's important for us that we know who we are. Paul is telling us that everything that he is because of what Christ has done. Christ called him. He appointed him. And so I don't know for you, but if I ask you a direct question without answer, you can meditate. But do you know your identity? Do you know the identity that you have or you can have in Christ? So, our identity in Christ has to do nothing with what we can offer in the table, but it's in everything that Christ has done. And through faith, we can be accepted, we can be forgiven, and we can be part of God's family. So, when I was not a believer yet, I was having a hard time to know who I was, because I was trying to do different things to please God. But I never knew that my effort cannot clean my sin. And when I heard the gospel for the first time, was a time that it made sense to me that Jesus needed to die, that Jesus needed to pay for my sin, because I cannot, and not only I, but we cannot. It doesn't matter who we are. So I was trying hard, and I was failing every time that I was trying. So I don't know about you. And in some ways, I don't need to know about you. And I'm not trying to be mean. The gospel is the same. The gospel of Jesus is the same for everybody. God can meet us wherever we are. And through faith in him, he can forgive us. He can make us part of his family. Because that is the good news, that it's telling us what Christ has done and how much God loves us and how much he sacrificed for us. So, we will go in the second part, the gospel, that verse 3 and 5. Before I go, you guys with technology are more, you are maybe many miles before us. In the church, we never have a time that tell us how much time do we have. The way that we do it is somebody will yell from the back that say, we are done, so you should. And also, the way that the pastor will tell to the guest speaker, it will not tell that, oh, you have 20 minutes, 30 minutes. It will tell that you can preach as much as you want, but in 12, we are leaving. So I have 18 more minutes. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sin to rescue us from present evil age, according to the will of our God the Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Paul's gospel was this, that salvation comes through faith alone. The false teacher's gospel was salvation comes through faith plus tradition and you name it. Even though those two, it look very similar from outside, but are two different religions. So Paul now is being so clear to tell. In verse 4, we never see this maybe in the tattoo. Because look at what it says that the verse 4 here, who gave himself for our sin to rescue us from present evil age, according to the will of our God, the will of our God and Father. So Jesus' death was not accidental. Jesus' death was planned according to God. And we also, the first Peter tell us, verse 20, that was planned before the world, before the creation. So the gospel, in many ways, offend us. The gospel at least offend us in two ways. The first, that we are sin, we are sinful people. And the second is that we cannot do nothing. We can do nothing to save ourselves. So people, we don't like to hear that. We don't like to hear that we cannot do anything for ourselves. We like to be comfortable. It's like we like to stay home and watch the church, even though we know that that was not God's plan. I know that for some time we can do it, but we just like to be the church there and we can do whatever we want. We don't want to be uncomfortable. So the gospel should offend us. The truth should offend us because the gospel, it's not coming from us. It's not some smart people that came up with this idea and told us. The gospel, it's God's good news for us. It's coming from up. It's not coming from us. And it should offend us. because otherwise will not be good news. So if we people can do something for ourselves, the gospel was going to be not a good news. But we like to hear something that, oh, you are doing very good, you just need a little bit more. And the gospel tell us that we are dead. We are not just sick. We don't need just the medication, but we are dead in our sin. And we need a resurrection. And Christ can do that through faith in him. So the gospel offend us. The gospel should offend us, even though we don't like it. When I read to my 6-year-old Grace in English, she will correct me for everything that I read. I don't read it the same. And I know that she's trying to help me. She's not trying to be mean to me. But I'm feeling offended that my 6-year-old know English better than me. And I'm glad that she's not here, because she was going to yell from the back and say, "Daddy, you need to..." So the gospel offends us because it's telling us what is wrong with us, but also it doesn't stay there. It tells us what to do that we can be safe and be part of God's family. So Martin Luther, the reformator, have said this, that the Christian life is a life of repentance. Not a life of repentance because we lost salvation and we need to repent, but because we are sinners and we need to repent for our sin. So in some way, we people, it shouldn't be surprised that we sin. We should confess, we should repent, we should turn away. But we are human, we sin. You are not surprised if your dog is barfing, right? I know that dogs barf different in Albania and different here, but you are not surprised. And it's the same with us. It's the sin, we are sinful, separated from God. We do sin. Either we like it or we don't like it. But that is our, this is our identity. When we separate from God, we inherit sin. So now we need Christ to forgive us and to accept us. Another thing what is about the sin is this, that because we believe the gospel, we should be open when somebody is telling us what is wrong with us. Believing the gospel also, it should make us more open to hear our spouse, our family, our coworkers, our friends, when they tell us what is wrong with us. Believing the gospel also should make us more acceptable, because we are blind with the way that we act and what we do. So the gospel is a good news. It shouldn't be surprised when somebody tells you that, hey, you wronged me in this way, or you said that offend me. You shouldn't try to justify yourself. You should repent, you should turn away, and you should ask for forgiveness. The gospel makes us to be more humility. Help me, somebody who teaches English. More humility. Yeah, the gospel should make us more, because it's telling us. But also, it's telling us that God loves us, even though we sin, even though we don't keep our promise. God loves us unconditionally. So that should make us love and be open for the criticism when people tell us. Verse 5 also is telling us that the glory forever and ever. Now, one of the reasons why the glory need to be to God is because God has done it. We didn't deserve it. We didn't do anything to make God do it. It's because of his love for us. So the glory should be to him forever and ever. We like the glory. We often take the glory for God, rather we know it or not. But so if you are, let's say something like that, that if you are faithful, you are kind, you are a hard worker, but you never tell to your co-worker that your faith in Jesus is important to you. If you never tell them that the reason why I don't lie, the reason why I don't cheat, the reason why I'm forgiving is not only because of my family, but because of the faith that I have in Christ. If you are not doing that, you are taking the glory for yourself. When you don't tell people that I'm not just a nice guy growing up, but it's the grace of God who have made me who I am. So you are taking the glory for yourself. And you are putting yourself there and say that, look at me, how nice, how hard worker I am. So the glory need to be from God, even you recognize this or not. Because the way that you are is because God is working in you. It's not. You can be a hard worker. You can be a good co-worker. You know how many people are like you? So the glory need to be to God. So how you as a church are doing with that? Are you giving the glory for God? You have many reasons to do that. Or you are taking for yourself? So we will go for the last one, no other gospel. And the verses are these, 6 to 11, 6 to 10. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really not the gospel at all. Evidently, some people are turning you into confusion and you are trying to prevent from the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel that the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse, as we have already said. So now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than that we have accepted, other that you have accepted, let them be under God's curse. I'm now trying to win the approval of humble being or of God. I'm trying to please people. If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. So far, we have talked about the identity that Paul had, and he was able to address the church in the way that he was. But also, we were able to see that the gospel is the good news that tell us about what God has done, that when we trust, when we put our faith in him, we can be forgiven and accepted. And so people live in base of two truths. They either believe the gospel or they don't. But there is no middle way. I know that we would like to have to be a middle way, but there is no middle way. We either believe the true gospel or we believe a false gospel. There is no other way. Now, we see that Paul here used the harsh language when people deny the true gospel. Because denying the true gospel means denying God. The gospel doesn't give us option, even though we like a lot of option. The gospel tells us what is wrong with us. It gives us the solution through faith in Jesus. But it doesn't let us pick and choose. We either pick the gospel or we don't. But it's not a middle way. So in the community here and in the campus are a lot of people that don't know the gospel. Like me 20 years ago, even though they might want to know God, they don't know what is the good news, what Christ has done for us. And so it's our duty as a fellow believer to live in such a way that the gospel is in the center of our life. But also it's our duty to go and proclaim the gospel, to be thoughtful, and to be patient, because it's God who is working in people. But our duty is to go and proclaim the gospel. Are many people who are in the campus, students, or in the community, that they want to know God, but they don't know about the true God, because are a lot of false gospel there. So it's the church, it's our believers' duty to believe and live faithful to the gospel, in, to live in such a way that people can see that God is working in you, and they want to know and be like you because of God's working in you. So it's our duty to live a gospel-centered life. And the another one is this, that so my sister took the initiative to come and share the gospel with us. And she didn't know what we will, how we will react. We never heard the gospel, we never know about Jesus. But for her, the cost was worth it. So back in the time when my father heard the gospel, it was hard for him, because his mom was devoted Muslim, and now his daughter is being devoted Christian. And it was hard for him to hear, because he thought that it's only one way, and he didn't doubt that. And so my sister she took the initiative and come and tell us. And she didn't know what we will do. But God was working with us before that. And neither of, because my mom and my other sister and I, we were together there. And none of them said anything. We just said that, hey, it makes sense what Jesus has done. We want to believe, so help us believe. And so we don't know what people, how people will react about the good news. And probably we should know. It's God who is working. But our duty is to go and share the gospel with people. And God who knows, God who works, he will do his work. And the Bible tells us that the one who started the good work will finish when the time is ready. So can we do the same? Can TCBC do, and you are doing already, I'm asking, it's not doubting, but can TCBC be faithful to live a gospel-centered life? Can TCBC be faithful with sharing the gospel with community and with the student and with anybody that God has brought you together? So let's show Jesus' character to our neighbors, to our friends, to our students, and to anybody that God has brought us in the table. So it's important for us to understand and live by the gospel, because the way that we understand the gospel is the way that we will live our life. The gospel, it's good news. And let me tell you that you will try to be obedient. You will try to maybe go and share the gospel. And you will see that you will fail. But the good news is that even though you will fail, even though you might say the wrong words to somebody who you meet for the first time, it doesn't matter. Because God loves you. He will not love you more if you share the gospel 5 times. God will not love you more if you be nice to your neighbors. God already loves you through Jesus, and nothing can change that. But because of his love, we should be encouraged that the way that we love God is by honoring him and by living such a life that shows the love that we have for him. Not something that we can earn. In Jesus, we miss nothing. We have everything in Jesus. We shouldn't be a good neighbors. We shouldn't be good to the student because God might bless us more. We are blessed in Jesus. Nothing can change that. God will not love you more if you act in such a way because God loved you perfectly in Jesus. So because God loved you perfect in Jesus, can we love God through the Holy Spirit in the perfect way that will make us follow his will? So let me pray for us as I close our time. Father God, we are thankful for Jesus. We are thankful for the gospel that tells us what is wrong with us and how it can be fixed. Father, thank you that you didn't leave us alone to figure out that, because we were going to be lost. But we are thankful that Jesus came, lived a perfect life, died, paid our penalty, and rose again. And Father, thank you for faith that we can trust and obey to you. And I pray, Jesus, that Holy Spirit will continue to work in our life, that we will live such a life that will honor, will give you the glory, and will do your will. So I pray, God, for us today, that Holy Spirit will continue to lead us, that our love for you can grow, and the way that we live our life will show that we believe in you and we honor you. And help us to love our community and the student well. Help us to go behind our comfortable zone. And help us, God, to do that for your glory, because you deserve it. God, we love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.